It is Monday, September 3rd, 2012, and on this Labor Day special report, we're going to have a compilation of the great team of InfoWars nightly news reporters, people like Jakari Jackson, David Ortiz, Melissa Melton. I mean, there's so many great people that we've gotten here on the team. We also have folks like Dan Bedondi, John Bown, Darren McBreen, David Knight, who are all here on board with the operation. David's going to get here in the next few months. We're going to have Linda West getting down here next week, but we're already up to six reporters, if you don't count some of the reporting that Aaron Dykes does, and, of course, also people like Kurt Nemo. And we've got Rob Dew, who sits in here and does the news as well. And it is all teleprompter-free, so you're really hearing what we truly think and believe. It's not scripted. You saw last Friday night's show where it showed the teleprompters scripting all the Republican National Convention, even when they said the applause has it for Mitt Romney when there was an applause that was booing. It just shows how they're trying to engineer and get us into this groupthink system. And teleprompters are bad because it allows a central message to be put out, then disseminated where it looks like it's what people actually think. And we look down at papers and read clips of news articles and things, but I'm trying to get our reporters into where they can really cover the news and then give us their perspective. So it's very exciting to see all of the reporters that we've already got here. I guess that's eight or nine people total, and they're doing multitasking jobs like camera and audio and video editing and graphics and research, most importantly. And we're working tirelessly because liberty is worth it. We do not want to be slaves. So here is a compilation of reports by the amazing InfoWars Nightly News team. And the one thing we need to work on more, I'll say here on air, is taking the best reports and segueing them over onto the big radio show. Because that's what reaches 3 million people a day. The Nightly News, of course, reaches all the PrisonPlanet.tv members. And every membership is the equivalent of six memberships. So you can share it with your friends. Tens of thousands see that every day, and then it goes out on YouTube, and hundreds of thousands see it, which is a good audience. I mean, Fox Business, their biggest show, has 230,000 viewers a night. They canceled the Politano show, the second most popular, with only about 150,000 viewers. So this is already as big as that was. But the radio show is 3 million a day. InfoWars and Prison Planet, a million a day or more. YouTube millions a day. I mean, we're really having a big effect. And it's because of people like you out there who are subscribers. If you're watching this out there on YouTube, that's great. But become a member at PrisonPlanet.tv. I just cannot thank the members of PrisonPlanet.tv enough. We couldn't do this without you. We wouldn't be here exposing this corruption in the face of the globalists if it wasn't for you. So here it is, a compilation of some of the new reports with our new reporters and some of the best reports put out by some of our veteran reporters of the last year. Aren't we up to the year anniversary here? When did we start? Yeah, we started. Wait a minute. We did. We started September 1st. Oh, my gosh. So this is like September 3rd, the first show of the month. This is the anniversary. We've got to properly look back this week. We've got to properly look back this week on the amazing job, because it was just Rob Dew, Marcos Morales doing an amazing job, and, of course, Darren McBreen, John Bound, and then Aaron Dykes, Rob Jacobson, myself, Watson and the writers that in the first year brought this to you. And now, as promised, the next level. Our success depends on our energy and our action, but also you supporting us and spreading the word. All right, that's it for my long teleprompter-free intro. Here are the great reports.
Thanks, Alex. We're standing outside of Hop Dottie's, a local hamburger restaurant located in South Austin. Now, this is just one of the many restaurants in town choosing organic and locally produced ingredients over GMO and conventionally farmed foods. However, Hop Dottie's has taken this trend one step further. They're also removing the fluoride as well as other toxins from the drinking water that they serve their customers.
You'd be surprised that it's a small percentage that really appreciate it, but the ones that do understand what fluoride does to you, they are ecstatic. They love seeing that.
Sodium fluoride is a chemical byproduct of aluminum, phosphate, cement, steel, and nuclear weapons manufacturing. It reduces IQ, impairs memory and learning. It has shown to poison kidney function. It causes bone disease as well as reduced thyroid activity and is a proven cause of cancer.
Well, not only is it bad for humans, it's also bad for animals of all kinds as well.
I just don't understand why fluoride needs to be in the water to begin with.
I do not think it belongs in our water supply.
It said it's for promoting like tooth health, oral hygiene, and stuff like that. It's supposed to be good for your teeth.
Anything in the water supply doesn't sound like something that I'd be for. So if I know something's being put into a water supply that doesn't necessarily have to be there, I'd rather it not be there.
Back in elementary school, they made you like gargle that stuff and wash your mouth out with it. But I just remember it made me sick every time I had it. So it's like, I don't know if it needs to be in my water.
I think it's just awful. I don't think anything should be added to the water supply that doesn't need to be added.
And it just sounds scary. Anything that's being put into a city's water supply without everybody's consent.
So would you like to see all the restaurants turn the corner like you are and remove the fluoride from the drinking water that they serve their customers?
Well, I like to see the city turn the corner and remove all the fluoride and not burden everyone with putting RO systems in their restaurants. I think that'd be the best way to do it. But I think that we can get the word out by doing that, and I would love to see more restaurants do that.
Well, you know, a lot of advocates are starting to educate people, and more people are becoming aware of the dangers of sodium fluoride. In fact, right down the street, Hop Dotties, they've made a conscious decision to remove the sodium fluoride from the drinking water that they serve their customers. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I actually go over there quite a bit.
I appreciate it, yeah. If they can filter out anything, the more filtration of the water, the better.
I think it's great that they're standing by something. They believe in it.
I'd like it if a lot more businesses started to do that.
They actually spent the money to take it out of their own water supply. I think that's pretty cool.
They don't need to spend money to take it out. It just needs to not be there to begin with.
I'd like it personally if Austin stopped putting the fluoride in the water altogether.
The majority of people we talk to on the street flat out don't approve of sodium fluoride being added to their water, which is why we applaud individual activists and activist groups like the Fluoride Action Network, who stand in the way of fluoridating public water supplies. And thanks to restaurants like Hop Dotties playing a role in the health of their customers and their community. I'm Darren McBreen for InfoWars Nightly News.
The collective consciousness turns once again to the United Nations. Many Americans, and especially the soldiers that serve the Commander-in-Chief and Congressional Declarations of War, are once again left out in the cold.
We were not asked, stunningly, in direct violation of the War Powers Act, whether or not you believe it's constitution, it certainly didn't comply with it. We spent our time worrying about the UN, the Arab League, NATO, and too little time, in my opinion, worrying about the elected representatives of the United States. Do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
If we're working with an international coalition and we're working with NATO, we would want to be able to get appropriate permissions in order to be able to do that. That's something that, you know, all of these countries would want to have some kind of legal basis on which to act.
What legal basis are you looking for? What entity?
Well, obviously, if NATO made the decision to go in, that would be one. If we developed an international coalition beyond NATO, then obviously some kind of UN security resolution would be the basis.
So a coalition of, so you're saying NATO would give you a legal basis, and an ad hoc coalition of nations would provide a legal basis?
If we were able to put together a coalition, and were able to move together then obviously we would seek whatever legal basis we would need in order to make that justified. I mean, you know, we can't just pull them all together in a combat operation without getting the legal basis on which to act.
Who are you asking for the legal basis from?
If it's obviously, if the UN passed a security resolution as it did in Libya, we would do that. If NATO came together as we did in Bosnia, we would rely on that. So, you know, we have options here.
His response is absolute confirmation that our military and executive branches have been hijacked by the United Nations, which is controlled by the New World Order agenda and promoted by the fiat currency banking cartels. How can the United Nations continue to subvert our sovereign constitutional authority to control the actions of our own United States military? Flashback to the Paris Peace Conference that ended World War I. A League of Nations was formed with a primary mission of maintaining world peace. The American Republican Majority Congress refused to join the League of Nations as Germany and the Axis powers all left the League of Nations and World War II ensued. At the end of the Second World War, the United Nations picked up where the League of Nations failed. The Rockefeller family, one of the primary architects of the Federal Reserve System, donated the 17 acres on the East River of New York City to build the United Nations headquarters. Arranged by Nelson Rockefeller, the deal further solidified the modern presence of the Rockefeller influence in domestic and foreign policy. The United Nations houses 15 specialized agencies outside of New York City. All of the locations of the United Nations outside of the United States enjoy extraterritorial privileges. Thus, the activities of these various entities are sheltered from United States law. As the New World Agenda moves forward and global powers coalesce, the United Nations place the American military on the tip of their spear. The power to declare war was specifically reserved for Congress through the War Powers Clause. The President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and the Navy of the United States and of the militia of several states when called into the actual service of the United States. This power to command the military is specifically balanced by Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the Constitution, which vests in Congress the power to declare war. It reads, Congress shall have power to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. On the heels of the Korean and Vietnam Wars, primarily in response to the Gulf of Tonkin false flag operation, Congress passed the 1973 War Powers Resolution. The resolution was vetoed by the President. However, Congress overrode the veto with a two-thirds majority vote. The War Powers Resolution requires the President to notify Congress within 48 hours of committing military action and limits the deployment to 60 days with an additional 30 days for withdrawal. Only a declaration of war by Congress can authorize the 91st day of combat, disregarded by every president since the Korean War, and in modern times by both President Clinton in Bosnia and again by President Obama in Libya. The executive office seems to have forgotten that American soil must be attacked for the president to attack another country. America must insist the violators of constitutional law remove themselves or be removed from the public arena.
Now we are here for the unveiling of yet another DPS patrol vessel. Now this is the second boat of what will eventually be a total of 6 34-foot shallow water interceptors to patrol the Rio Grande River. As the Texas Highway Patrol goes on a wild spending spree, these hot rod boats cost approximately $600,000 each. And yes, that's taxpayer money to fight Al-Qaeda and the small-time drug traffickers on the Texas rivers.
They're buying these giant $690-something thousand speedboats for lakes and rivers that have giant machine guns mounted all over them. And they didn't have the machine guns mounted 3 months ago when we first went out and talked to them at a lake. They didn't know who we were. We did a nice interview. put it on TV. I made my points about how we're going bankrupt, but they're constantly militarizing our police. Darren McBreen and John Brown went out there politely, and they were bowing up. They were saying, we're not going to talk to you, even though it was a press event that they called. They had state police standing right up in their space. And when they left, they had state police follow them out of the parking lot over by the lake.
I mean, here's my deal, man. I mean, you guys misrepresented yourselves with KLBJ. I called them, and they're like, no, they don't work for us.
It's not a misrepresentation. We're broadcast on KLBJ.
I mean, this is a public place. You're welcome to film.
But there's not a media representative that'll talk to us?
No.
It goes on to say, are John Bowne and Darren McBreen on your staff, a DPS contacted, our DPS contact, and we're also affiliated with your show. Can you shed any light on this? I mean, it's just crazy. The state police are calling our local affiliate because, wait, the media is not supposed to ask us questions. Wait a minute. You're not supposed to discuss what's going on. You're supposed to take it. You're supposed to, we give you a press release and you read it on air. That's how America works. We don't have a free press in America.
I mean, I have some talking points if you want to.
Yeah, some talking points. I think we got those pretty much last time. I mean,
they're pretty much the same.
I know the cost of the boats and all that. And,
yeah.
But we're just kind of wondering about joint military exercises, stuff like that, you know, if there's any...
I mean, you can ask them. Yeah, there's no joint military exercises plan that I'm aware of.
They're spending $600,000 on these...
Well, 600 plus.
Yeah, for a total of six of them. And this is the unveiling of the second one.
With machine guns, militarizing, and they don't like it. It's wrong to sit there and try to violate press freedom in this country. Can you believe calling up our affiliate, trying to imply we're doing something wrong, playing weird legalese games?
And by them following us, it seemed like intimidation. You know, it was pure intimidation.
Well, I mean, he's calling.
I know they plan on buying a lot of these unmanned drones.
DPS is not that I'm aware of.
The state of Texas is not?
We're not.
Because there's like Border Patrol with the drones and all that.
Border Patrol is federal.
Well, yeah, and but they're working with federal agencies. That's what I mean. So it would be like Homeland Security, for example, is federal, yet they provided a lot of the funding for these boats that are here in the state.
Sure.
You know. So that's why I was wondering if there's any, you know, federal cooperation with these unmanned drones as well for Border Patrol and fighting this out-of-control drug war.
I don't know. We don't have drones.
Yeah.
Now, whose drones we have access to, I'm not even sure.
Rights activists or whatever are also concerned that maybe these boats would be used to, like, pull over somebody. Hey, do you have your fishing license? You know, and you got all these tactical guns on there. And do you have your fishing license? Is this boat registered? Is there any alcohol on board? You know, that sort of thing. So those were kind of the questions we're going to ask. So.
Yeah, these are going to be used in standard border operations in cooperation with, you know, local, state, and of course, you know, Border Patrol.
I hope you're right.
That's all they're there for.
We are right.
Well, you know, sometimes they do, you know, but like, you know, same with the Patriot Act. It was supposed to be just for terrorists, and then they end up, you know, going after more than just terrorists. And these are just questions, man. A lot of people get offended by these questions. Like this, you know, so there's checks and balances, you know.
The global banking cartel has used one tried and true process to create wars, rob us of our currency, and eat away at our substance. This process of control over the masses is called the Hegelian dialectic. So what is it, and how is it being used today? German philosopher George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel devised a dialectic, or method to resolve a disagreement between outcomes. The dialectic is made up of three attributes: thesis, an idea or opinion; antithesis, the opposite idea or opinion; and synthesis, the alchemic process to bring together a wanted change. It is commonly referred to as order out of chaos, and is waged against the masses in many forms. Saul Alinsky, self-avowed Marxist, proponent of the Hegelian dialectic, published this in Rules for Radicals: any revolutionary change must be preceded by a passive, affirmative, non-challenging attitude toward change among the mass of our people. They must feel so frustrated, so defeated, so lost, so futureless in the prevailing system that they are willing to let go of the past and chance the future. George Bush became the hero of 9/11 simply due to the fact that he was the president, and then rammed through legislation that threatened our liberties as we all complacently stood by and allowed it to happen. A manufactured crisis occurs, thesis. George Bush answers it by rallying public opinion and becoming the host of the tragedy, antithesis. Thus owning the crisis through synthesis. Equilibrium is attained. All of the once separate parts of the plan are joined together. In this example, the Patriot Act acting as the equilibrium on the desired road to tyrannical fascism in America.
They're too good at what they're doing. They create the crisis on record. They sell the fraud. Then they say, give us more power. Give up your sovereignty, Europe, America, and we'll fix it. But then it only implodes faster. They make bigger bonuses, but they're destroying their own golden goose. They're hacking it open greedily. When it's giving them a golden egg every morning, they think there's eggs inside. I think the point you made of that, because they're on record creating this to consolidate power, they've bragged about it. Those memos have been made public by Goldman Sachs and others, but they're going to fry things so badly the bankers are all running to private islands with their own security teams. I mean, like they want to rule everything so much and have just so many digits in their bank accounts that they're going to devalue the value of the digits through their sheer greed.
That is a possibility. And if you look at the Hegelian dialectic, if that crisis at the beginning spins out of control, they lose the tail end of the dialectic, don't they? There will be no synthesis at the end. They'll be lucky if they survive.
Another method to manipulate the masses is the use of two opposing views to attain the desired view. Politician A espouses the first view. Politician B counters with a differing view. A clear example of this was the debate over the unconstitutional NDAA bill of 2012.
I strongly believe that the United States government should not have the ability to lock away its citizens for years and perhaps decades without charging them and providing a heightened level of due process. We don't pick up citizens. We don't incarcerate them for 10 or 15 or 20 years or until hostilities end, and no one knows when they will end, without giving them due process of law.
The great concern that we have now in terms of the security of the homeland is from so-called homegrown terrorists, radicalized Americans. So these people, in my opinion, have taken sides. They've joined the enemy. And to have this body at this time, as the threat of homegrown terrorism rises, say no, they can't be treated as enemy combatants, is not only doesn't make sense, and is totally unresponsive to the facts that I've just described.
President Obama threatened to veto the bill as long as it contained the section concerning due process, and then quickly changed his mind before the final version was voted through Congress. Obama then told the media that the version he had signed was revised to eliminate any threat to freedom of American citizens, even though this was not true, and the bill gives extraordinary powers to detain American citizens without a trial. The media synthesized Obama's lie by claiming that Obama will not use the powers he now has. The desired result is synthesized by mainstream media as they turn a blind eye to the debate. The American people cave into the lie because the process it is attached to seems so familiar. John Bowne, InfoWars Nightly News.
This is Jakari Jackson reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. We have a story for you. Summertime blues for drivers. This story out of the Associated Press. U.S. drivers paid an average of $3.72 per gallon on Monday. That's the highest price ever on this date, according to Auto Club AAA. A shade above the $3.71 average on August 20th, 2008. So we see that in the past 4 years, with all the energy czars and energy plans and green energy and this and that, we've only managed to drop gas prices by 1 cent, and it's not even a full cent. Moving on here. A few drivers are catching a break, though. In states such as Montana, Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho, gas prices do seem to be a little bit lower, which is a good deal. but crude oil has risen above $95 a barrel from a low of 78 in late June. In the U.S., there were problems with refineries and pipelines. A major problem with the pipeline being that Obama did not want them. We know the deal with the Keystone Pipeline. Obama came to Oklahoma and commissioned or, you know, allowed us to have the pipeline that goes from Cushing to Oklahoma to the Gulf, which, you know, is construction down there, the southern leg of it. But the, you know, northern parts, the parts above Oklahoma are largely uncommissioned or inactive. So just be aware of that. And also there is a Gallup poll. We'll take a look at that. Americans favor the Keystone Pipeline. We see that 57% of Americans actually favor the pipeline. And we even look at Democrats, Obama's own party. We see 44% favor the pipeline, 38% are, do not favor the pipeline, and about 19% are unsure. So we'll keep you up to date if anything new develops with that. Also, we'll go to our next story here. Facebook stock rebounds after dropping below $19. This story is out of the Associated Press as well. Facebook's beleaguered stock got an afternoon boost after hitting its lowest level ever earlier in the day. Facebook Inc. hit a new low of $18.75 before bouncing back to $19.86 in the afternoon trading Monday. The stock has not surpassed its $38 IPO since the first day of trading. Now, if you're going to invest in the stock, I'd definitely suggest that you look into it first. And if you did, you would see that many of the investors, some of the largest investors, some of the earliest investors, dropped the stock before it went public. And you'd ask, why would people so heavily invested in Facebook get out before it went public? So to that question, we have a special report from Aaron Dykes, which he actually did early in the year, but still rings true. We had a great forecast from Aaron Dykes, and we'll throw it to that now.
So the initial public offering can be a double-edged sword, and we're going to see what happens in the case of Facebook. But is it a scam? The question has at least been raised by one University of Oxford professor named Tim Jenkinson. He says the basic question you have to ask is, do you want to buy a company where all the insiders are headed for the door? So are people buying into the IPO tomorrow about to get the investment of their lives, or are they about to be taken for a ride as a key group of insiders make themselves even richer? Many of its angel investors who put the company into the big time in the earliest stages are some of the people selling off some of the biggest shares. Those include Peter Thiel, who gave the first big $500,000 investment to Facebook. He is a steering committee member of the Bilderberg Group of Elites. The other is Jim Breyer, who's part of the Excel Group. He's been linked to NQTEL, the CIA, and all kinds of intelligence firms. And he put up a very large amount of money in that second stage. We're also going to see a number of later stage investors selling off a lot of their shares, also hoping to cash in. Those groups include Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, and even U2's own Bono, whose group is trying to liquidate many of its shares. It will be an important test. How much is your information worth?
Okay, so we see that the rats are always the first ones to know that the ship is sinking. A great report from Aaron Dykes. You can catch that report on Infowars.com. It's actually titled Facebook IPO Funds NSA Data Mining. And be sure to check that out. And we'll go to our quote of the day. The use of solar energy has not been opened up because the oil industry does not own the sun. That quote from Ralph Nader. I'm Jakari Jackson with the InfoWars Nightly News.
This is David Knight reporting for InfoWars. George Washington once said, the British walked about freely, but between high walls. Well, that's quite literally true today in America. Today, at political events, free speech is restricted to political zones, free speech zones, sometimes to caged areas. This is what free speech looks like in 2004 at the Republican National Convention. And in a case that goes back to that convention, an appeals court today has upheld corralling free speech into zones. A federal appeals court has upheld the creation of no demonstration zones which prohibit free speech in certain public areas. The Second Court of Appeals ruled yesterday upholding a lower court's decision that declared such zones as being permissible. A federal appeals court has upheld the creation of no demonstration zones which prohibit free speech in certain public areas. The Second Court of Appeals ruled yesterday upholding a lower court's decision that declared such zones as being permissible. Back in 2004, two pro-life demonstrators were protesting at the Republican National Convention. They were protesting the fact that there were too many pro-abortion speakers, people such as Giuliani, Schwarzenegger. They were told that they could not stand on a public sidewalk holding a sign, and they had to go to a remotely located free speech zone. Well, the so-called free speech zone had, as I put it, individuals of varying and opposite opinions forced to stand together in one consolidated caged area, which included a stage with a microphone. Well, as unconstitutional as this was, they didn't refuse to go. But as they were walking, they questioned the officers and recorded the questions. And for doing this, they were arrested for not relocating fast enough. They said, they took us to an abandoned warehouse where they funneled hundreds of people into cages that they had set up for this purpose. They treated us like cattle. Well, they treated them like cattle because they think of them as cattle. They don't think of them as American citizens with recognized rights. At no time did these defendants have their case heard by a jury. Their lawsuit was thrown out by a single judge, and the appeal was heard by a three-judge panel who sided with the government. No surprise there. The New York Civil Liberties Union has another case relating to the same events, but not to these particular abortion protesters. And Christopher Dunn says that that case should not be affected by this recent ruling for the two abortion protesters. This decision involving two anti-abortion protesters has no bearing on the major convention litigation now pending in federal district court, said Christopher Dunn, associate legal director for the New York Civil Liberties Union. In that litigation, the New York Civil Liberties Union is challenging mass arrests, detentions at Pier 57, and the blanket fingerprinting of protesters. Get that, blanket fingerprinting of protesters. The appeals case decided yesterday has nothing to do with any of these issues. Well, things are going to get more dangerous for citizens who want to exercise their free speech at this year's convention because earlier this year, Congress passed the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act. Well, what exactly does that improve? Well, it just improves the chances that our leaders can now do whatever they wish without anyone complaining about it. Because if you protest an event where the Secret Service is guarding someone, it is now a federal crime. This new law permits Secret Service agents to designate any place they wish as a place where free speech, association, petition of the government are prohibited. It permits the Secret Service to make these determinations based on the content of the speech. That's right. If they don't like what you're saying, they can deny you the right to say it. Cheering crowds are fine, but if the Secret Service arbitrarily doesn't like what you're doing, it's a federal crime. And as we saw yesterday, the Obama White House has already told GSA to step down on Occupy protesters. So if the government finds what you're saying is useful to their agenda, they tell enforcement to step down. But if they don't like what you're saying, they use the full force of unconstitutional laws against you. So our quote for the day is the First Amendment itself. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. I get that again. Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or the right of the people to peaceably assemble. This is David Knight reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Back to you, Paul.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. Alex Jones here with a very important announcement for Truth Seekers. We've carried a lot of amazing films and books over the years on the online video bookstore at InfoWars.com. And out of all the titles we've carried, one stands out because it is just so chillingly convincing. And that's Dreams from My Real Father by Joel Gilbert, available at InfoWars.com. This film exposes the fraud that Obama is like nothing I've seen. If you want to know who Obama's real daddy is, this is the film for you. Don't forget, your purchase supports our broadcast and our growing media network. You'll also find at InfoWarsShop.com, None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen, the book that woke me up.
We're also carrying Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, by Rosa Corey. This book is coffin nails to the globalist takeover. The Greater Good, the most professional and up-to-date film I've ever seen, exposing the scourge that is vaccines. These titles and a lot more are all available at InfoWarsShop.com. Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. We've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The K-Tor hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, 3rd edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. Therosafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com. Sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure. And it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Dan, give us more on this report and your take on it.
Well, I think it's very disturbing because all of us, I have kids, a lot of people have kids, and kids are a very important issue in a lot of our lives, but this has really touched me, this story and many others I got to report, and some of the past stories, but it's very relevant to what we're going to talk about. And one, cops interrogating a family for allowing the kids to play outside. I mean, come on, I know when I was a kid, I was outside all day till the sun went down. And so my mother had to yell at the door to scream and yell, call me in the house.
And, well, someday it'll be, I remember that my grandpa had a mommy and a daddy and wasn't grown in a test tube. It'll be like, arrest him for thought crime.
Absolutely. It's a sin.
There were never parents.
You know, it's a criminal offense to have your kids play outside, folks. And on with the article, it says a family has been harassed by social services for police for a crime of allowing their children to play outside, and another example how this nanny state is running America. And it was a mother in Virginia. She was interrogated by police four times and visited by social services twice after children were spotted playing outside unsupervised.
God oh, how evil. Oh,
God forbid.
Even in rural areas, they're saying, you don't play outside. Get back in there and watch television and drink fluoride water.
Absolutely. Keep pumping the fluoride to the kids. Get your
Which
kids
admittedly kills them. Even Harvard admits it. But that's loving. Just don't play outside.
Exactly.
Now, at the beach, if control freaks walk over and go, do you have enough sunscreen on your children? And they never have kids. They're like these weird, anti-humanoid, fake liberals. And I'm like, have you ever shut up and got out of my face? but now they call police if they see your kid with a little bit of, you know, the old copper tone ad of a little girl with a dog pulling her pants down and she's got a sunburn on her back. Oh, that? Take your children away to the government dungeon, yeah.
Let's bust down your door, call CPS, we're going to take your kids. Because, God forbid, you don't let them be indoctrinated by the New World Order. God forbid that. God forbid you don't let them be controlled by the system in our schools today. So let's bang your door down with CPS, take your kids, because you're not pumping fluoride or vaccinations in them.
Even though they're five times more likely to abuse your children.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter. Let's just ignore numbers and facts.
And the ADA even went on record to say, yes, fluoride is not safe for infants. This is on record.
But that's why at the store it's everywhere for infants.
Absolutely.
Because they want to get them while they're young and make sure that brain's damaged.
Exactly.
Because they're nice people.
Exactly.
Very nice, loving.
And this article goes on to say, the mother said that despite the fact that she is careful about allowing the kids to play outside or stay over other people's houses, because of related childhood trauma of her own, she is being harassed by authorities because she is one of the only two families that allows my children to play outside in the neighborhood. And she said just today, quoted, I allowed all four of my children that were all together to play in the field adjacent to my house.
Oh.
I could literally see them outside in my kitchen window. My 10-year-old ran home to tell my
arrest
husband.
Her now.
Yeah, arrest her. And
but then when the foster parents the state gives them to, they're allowed to drown in the pool, whatever. That's never an issue. That you're five times more likely to die in CPS custody, seven times more likely to be sexually abused. But that's not an issue. Nobody's going to watch them.
Oh, look at the Oath Keepers baby. I forgot the young, it was an infant girl. They got her back from CPS care, and the diaper was full of blood, and come to find out it was sexually molested while on the CPS care. And it was, I think it was Maine and New Hampshire, and there was
yeah, well, they suspected that. Yeah, just terrible news. I remember that story. Moving on to the one I was mentioning, the loving RFID.
Oh, the RFID, which is
San Antonio.
San Antonio, Texas. Let me get to that.
Well, I didn't mean to get you out of order. Start back where you're at. Let's run through these articles. We've got a bunch of them here.
All right, well, another one here. McDonald's, Nickelodeon, all these places are collecting data on your children. I mean, they have all these, even the Cartoon Channel. Well, have your kids sign up to play games, give information. Now they're asking for friends' email addresses. I mean, the article goes on to say websites accused of collecting data on children. Which is saying nothing new. This is a technocracy that's coming upon us.
And again, you're not supposed to sit there and ask children for data as an adult because the parents are the guardians, not the state, because children are not at the age of consent to give data, and these groups are preying on children.
Absolutely. And you got a coalition here of nearly 20 children advocacy, health and public interest groups plans to file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission on Wednesday, asserting that some online marketing to children by McDonald's and four other well-known companies violated federal law protecting the child's privacy. And groups of...
Well, I mean, crack dealers always go after kids to get them hooked on it, and McDonald's full of all the additives and things that are addictive and toxic. I mean, they're McNuggets, they admit, have silicone in them.
Oh, but
people won't believe that. Pull that up. McDonald's, Nuggets, and a bunch of other fast food has silicone. But, hey, who cares if you have kidney failure? Who cares if everybody's getting diabetes? They love us. And it's the same reason they put fluoride.
Yeah, you do all the,
if you don't hurt them, well, exactly. Yeah. If you don't give them chemical weapons, you're a bad parent.
And the sites are General Mills, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Subway, another General Mills, Trix World, Turner Cartoon Networks, McDonald's, I mean, HappyMeal.com, Nickelodeon. I mean, this is disgusting, Alex. It really is. And it really disturbs me because I got a child of my own. And, I still got a stack of news, folks.
And again, they go to a free online, deal they think's free to play a game or whatever. It's asking them these questions.
Yeah.
It's just like a perv or something coming over in the schoolyard. And saying, hey, now let's continue on with the next story.
We got a video on this. If you want to play this in a minute, I just want to touch on parents' concern that cafeteria palm scanners will implant the mark of the beast system on the child's hand.
Oh, just getting training them to body scan to buy and sell. And now they're coming out with the Facebook cameras where you get discounts when they run your database. I mean, sure, they admit it's all happening, but what's wrong with that?
Nothing at all. Let's, it's biometric, our kids. This is from Louisiana Public Schools' decision to purchase palm scanners to speed up lunch lines and payments to reduce the line.
And track what you do. Like Chicago won't let parents pack their lunch. You got to buy it from the loving state.
I got that. And this is totally totalitarian George Orwellian, folks. And we got the video if you want to play the video on this real quick.
In its cafeteria, but the palm vein scanner is being met with opposition from parents. KPLT Holly Carter brings us details.
I was very, very mad, disappointed.
Many parents felt that way Monday after reading a letter sent home with their children from Moss Bluff Elementary School. The letter introduced a new program, the palm vein scanner, much like this one, to move students through the lunch line at a faster rate. With almost 1,000 students, Principal Charles Calderera says the system will reduce errors.
We're so large, and with an elementary school, they all come through the line.
Now, here's the deal. They do this for the school lunch program, but also paying kids. It's to track you. It's to acclimate them to be prisoners. This is the admitted plan. You have these school administrators that are told they'll be given federal money if they install these, just like they've been caught using laptops all over the country to watch kids at home. They're a school issue that they call free that are taxpayer paid for. The schools are how they're taking over the community, deliberate dumbing down. Charlotte Isherby, former head of the Department of Education Policy. This is the plan. And the parents are fighting back. Oh, the answer is pack their lunch, boycott their crap, okay, and get your children out of the government training camps.
And this is more disturbing now. I mean, the hand scan is one thing, but now you got right in San Antonio, Texas, the Northside schools, I believe this, the high school and the middle school, right in San Antonio, we got a video for this as well. A new program being tested at some Northside independent school districts that tracks students using a smart student ID tag. And I watched the video. Basically, they have, on the Lancet, they have, it looks like a pass, a regular student ID, but has an RFID embedded.
They put chips into animals and stuff to track their animals and things of that sort, but I think this is overstepping their boundaries.
It's huge, and I have to wear it like a dog collar.
The program will require students to wear new, thicker radio frequency IDs that will allow administrators to track them on campus.
This smart student ID card is designed to help us locate students in an emergency if we have to. It will also allow us to manage the attendance better so that we can get more revenues for the particular school.
Now, according to the video, they say where the student goes, they can track the child, and they quoted that. They had to state, once a kid steps out that door, they can't track them no more, which we know this could be a lie because look at the laptops in Pennsylvania. And this is, I mean, we've got a lot of kids and parents who are against this, and yes, some parents are for this, but...
And notice it's drones, microchips, scanning. It's San Antonio school districts are the ones that have a Department of Defense thing, an AI computer that watches what they eat and calculates their calories. Did you? In fact, people won't believe that. Guys, did you pull up the thing about McDonald's and, okay, show the nuggets, and then, this is from about 6 months ago, just, you know, adding this whole theme here, Dan, there's the article about a little silicone and petrol in your McNuggets, hey, why not? It's addictive, highly toxic, neural order loves it. But now the Department of Defense has AI cameras watching what the kids eat and creating a database. I mean, this is just, they're absolutely training them for the brave new world.
Oh, it is, and another related article, this is back from November 2009, from my home state, Rhode Island, old Governor Donald Cacciari. Now, there was a bill that was set up to go against the RFID chip, and the schools in Westerly, Rhode Island, wanted to put RFID tags, that's radio frequency identification devices, onto the children's backpacks. Now, a bill went toward, you know, the State House to say, hey, we want to stop this. Of course, the governor says no. Veto. Bang. And moving on. Again, what Alex was just talking about, Harrington High School in Pennsylvania using laptops to spy on kids at home. Now, this is on record. They were giving kids laptops and looking what they were doing in classrooms and also what they were doing at home. I mean, this is to tolerance police state, folks.
Well, these are perbs, too. I mean, this is government schools that want to be inside your life.
And another one article here, children 4 years old to be fingerprinted to borrow school books from a library. I mean, come on. You know, this is just totally ridiculous.
And well, it makes perfect sense. Right, it's super lockup, supermax.
And another fingerprint scans to replace lunch money.
But what's worse is in California and other states, the schools got caught shooting kids up with vaccines without consent. They always say it's an accident. Now they just say, we have a right to and we're doing it. It's illegal, by the way, but they have police with guns. We've now reached a point where they're just lawless criminals doing whatever they want. Continuing.
Absolutely. And now, again, we talked about earlier, Chicago school bans some lunches brought home from school. So, God forbid, folks, you were to give your kid organic food or something that's actually good for them, not fortified with fluoride, not fortified with the GMOs. You know, if you were to give your kid something good, they can't bring it to school.
Well, it was some school districts did it, just a total ban on bringing school lunches. You've got to buy it from the company store, from the plantation.
I mean, it is disgusting. And, the whole thing is what's going on with the children, okay? They are being misled, and I'm not...
Well, yeah, you give them over to a predatory government. The schools are really federally globalist run, and they've bankrupted everybody, and they take the property taxes, so you're so poor you got to put them in the public school. I mean, these are just nightmare hell facilities.
It is, and I'm misleading the kids. And I just want to say one thing with Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Savior, says anybody who misleads children, okay, it is better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and drown in the ocean, because that's nothing compared to what's going to happen when you meet the face of God. You know what? You know, I just want to address the elite, CPS and all that. You know what? If you want to do this to your kids, you do it to your own kids, okay? You know, actually, don't do it to any kids. But
I've had them on the show. They brag they don't do this to their kids. They don't give them vaccines. But they love hurting kids.
Leave our kids alone. We had enough of your crap. Leave our kids alone. And we're standing up against you. And I want to say another thing, too, on behalf of myself. The ADL attacking you and all these other federal agencies. You know what? You want to attack Alex, you're going to have to attack me as well. Because you take one patriot, you're going to take them all, brother. And you got a whole InfoWars staff full of patriots who are going to go down with Alex Jones as truth warriors. And, you know, Alex, I'm going to stand right here, right by your side, brother. And whatever they have to bring after you, they have to come after me as well.
Well, there's no future if we don't beat them anyways.
Exactly. So and we are going to beat them in the
Bible. I mean, we have nowhere to go. There's nothing we can do but fight these people.
Exactly.
We're committed.
Yep.
They're committed to their evil. We're committed to doing good, and that's the end of it.
I want to say to you, I made a covenant with God. I did. I said, I want to be, make a covenant with you to be a thorn in the side of the New World Order. Every my last breath, I lost relationships over this. I lost families, friends, and all the guys that say the same thing. But I want to be a thorn in the side of the New World Order, and whatever I could do to do that and to bring the truth out to you people out there, just like Alex does on a daily basis. And I seen Alex, folks, and I got a lot of people on my Facebook, YouTube and everything. Oh, you're working for a Jesuit. It's like, first of all, you don't even know what a Jesuit is, okay? You're working for Insider or whatever. It's like, if you've seen this guy, what he does on a daily basis, you would feel so stupid. And Alex,
well, most of those are just operatives getting weak-minded people away from the truth. I mean, the truth is everybody knows the world government's here, and we can make it about Alex Jones, or we can make it about the New World Order taking over. And when the gas prices keep going up and everything starts falling apart, remember, the New World Order did it.
Exactly.
And that's what we're trying to do here is fight these people. Before you read the daily quote here and we go out to break and come back with the head of the Rutherford Institute with the good news that the Marine who was grabbed by the thought police has been released because of everybody's prayers and attention. It's good to have you here on board. You're doing a great job over on the radio side with all the great folks over there, and we enjoy having you, Dan.
Thank you, Alex.
And you know, God's blessing your covenant. I didn't know that you made this covenant a long time ago, but now, see, you're here on a higher playing field against the globalists, and that's what God does.
And it's better to be on the front lines of the New World Order than Infowars.com.
Where else? Well, I mean, God looks at the heart, and that's what matters.
Exactly.
And believe me, if you want to fight evil and you're dedicated and you just start taking action, the doors will open.
Absolutely.
And I want to say that to people out there watching. Big things have small beginnings. And just start engaging the lies. Start standing up. And stop trying to overplan things. So many people just try to overplan and plan. They have these big plans. They never launch anything. Do something small today, and we'll bring down the globalists tomorrow.
And while you're on that point, I want to make a point to you people out there. Years ago, I started listening to Alex about 2004, 2005, and one day I heard him. I'm like, this guy's great. He's telling a lot of truth. Then he says one thing. Don't take my word for it. You have to get up and take action on your own. And I did, right then and there, because all the knowledge I obtained, you know, of studying New World Order and everything else and what God's given me, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to take that. And all of a sudden, a radio show falls into my lap. I become a radio talk show host. I founded our own section of We Are Change in Blackstone, Rhode Island. And I started going to rallies, putting my own rallies on, protests. And I took action. I got out there. And I got if you Google my name, I hate boasting about myself. But Google
it's
my
an
name,
example of success.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all, you know, I mean, I know you don't like the thanks, but, you know, thanks to you. And most of all, thanks to my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the number one thanks. And you also, man. And I know you don't like the praises, whatever, but you helped me to, you know, because it was a fire inside me all my life. I always knew there was something wrong with this world. And you ignited that fire. You said, you got to get up and take action for yourself. You had one of your great rants. And, I mean, I just jumped out of my seat. I'm like, you know what? The very next day I went down, I forgot where it was. I think it was a Tea Party meeting. And they were endorsing Sarah Palin. I mean, it just, just lit me on fire. And I went down there. I took action. I had the bullhorn. I mean, it was great. I got this on YouTube as well. And ever since then, I was confronting politicians, doing my own radio shows. I've been on radio shows all over the country. And
it's an example of taking action.
Exactly.
It's waiting for you. Give us the daily quote.
This is a quote of the day, but this is very relevant to what's going on today. Especially, take Obama, put him in your head for a minute. Okay, this is from Big Brother slogan from George Orwell's 1984. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Now, Obama preaching war, 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 wins a Nobel Peace Prize. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Okay, he's going around, you have to kill the Second Amendment, you have to kill the First Amendment, you have to kill the Constitution, we have to submit to the New World Order. That's what Obama wants. That's war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, and he wants you to be ignorant because it strengthens these scumbags from the elite. And Alex, I mean, I just can't say enough. I'm so happy that you gave me the opportunity to be on InfoWars.
Hey, great job, brother, and it was great having you do part of the news earlier, and then, you know, having you over there covering more of it. It was great having Jakari Jackson here, and can't wait till the other reporters start getting in the next few days. God bless you. Great job.
Thank you, Alex.
This is Melissa Melton with InfoWars Nightly News. So when you're being followed by a cop in your rearview mirror, do you feel safe, protected, or do you feel nervous? When police shot and killed an unarmed man fleeing on foot in Anaheim, California on Saturday, residents gathered to ask why. Their answer came in the form of police shooting rubber bullets into a crowd of unarmed, terrified civilians, including women and children. And one cop even let loose a canine into the crowd, which took off straight for a baby in a stroller. We've just been showing you some excerpts from this video, but let's take a look at the full clip.
We just started shooting again. No, we don't have no guns, nothing.
I just got scared. I just saw a water bottle get thrown in the air. They just started shooting everyone. They shot a little kid too.
Out here, there were dozens of people who had their cell phones, and at least four different people told me that police officers offered to buy their video from them without any explanation. Of course, that's all part of this investigation as it continues to develop out here in Anaheim.
We just started shooting.
In the wake of this event, we're really left with two versions of what happened. There's the official police version, and then there's the video we all just saw. And William Grigg and LouRockwell.com breaks it down in his story, The Post-Aurora Rampage, few have heard about, when he says, local news accounts, which retailed the department's version of events, describe the crowd as, quote, unruly, and the protest as a near riot in which angry citizens encircled the officers and began throwing things, including bottles and possibly rocks. They don't even know. And the police claim there were several fires that had been started in trash cans. Of course, none of those claims have been corroborated by video evidence or eyewitnesses, nor have the police explained why they gunned somebody down who was unarmed and fleeing on foot. Why was he fleeing? I don't know. Maybe he was afraid. Maybe he was scared because this is the sixth officer-involved shooting in Anaheim, California just this year. And I don't know what you saw in that video, but I didn't see an angry, unruly mob just attacking police with bottles and rocks. What I saw was a terrified crowd screaming and trying to run for cover and protect their children from police officers shooting rubber bullets at them, which at close range can be lethal. And then you've got the mainstream media downplaying it all. You've got this article in the Digital Journal where they talk about how the canine officer that was released was an accidental release on at least one individual. They don't say that that individual was actually a baby in a stroller. Speaking of rights, Grigg finishes his story really well by saying, in the wake of the Aurora massacre, the public has been encouraged to believe that because of private gun ownership, every public gathering place can be transformed into the scene of a massacre. The Anaheim police rampage illustrates how quickly the state's armed enforcement case, which, according to gun control activists, should have a monopoly on our firearms, can turn any neighborhood into an urban war zone. Now, it should be noted that protests have now gone into a third day, and today Anaheim residents were set to gather in front of the city hall. And InfoWars will, of course, keep you updated as this story unfolds. And I think this goes really well into our quote of the day, which comes from Thomas Jefferson. And he says, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny and government. The takeaway here is we have a right to protect ourselves.
This is Jakari Jackson reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. We have a report for you from the Business Insider. Headline: damning report alleges NYPD consistently violated rights of Occupy protesters. Now, this is nothing new to our viewers, but we're happy to see other organizations covering this type of material. A group of legal experts have published a report detailing abusive and unlawful protest regulations and policing practices by the New York police in response to the Occupy Wall Street protesters. Now, we have a list of allegations here just in the city of New York alone. excessive or unnecessary use of force, massive and continuous over-policing, obstruction of press freedoms and legal monitoring, constant surveillance, accountability, and transparency failures, and the list goes on from there. Now, we have a video that we're about to throw to. We'll see here in this first clip an officer swinging his nightstick pretty much indiscriminately at a crowd of protesters, not taking into account who he's going to hit or the amount of damage he's actually going to inflict. And here's one. An officer throws a gentleman to the ground when the man steps between the officer and his desired target, another protester. And finally, we see a man walk in here to a crowd of about six police. The man is immediately attacked, grabbed, has his mask removed, and thrown to the ground. And yeah, it is a little suspect to wear a mask, but hey, it's the city of New York. Now, it's just one of the many videos that we've shown right here on Infowars.com. You see many videos yourself of police brutality at these Occupy events. You've seen them on YouTube. Some of you have even submitted your clips here, and we definitely appreciate that. But we just want to show that the police brutality is spreading. And speaking of spreading to other cities, further detailed studies from the Protests and Assembly Rights Project will be published in the coming months about police response in Boston, Charlotte, Oakland, and San Francisco. And keep in mind, back in May, right here on InfoWars, we ran a story about Occupy Minnesota. We have the article right here, as a matter of fact. Cops drugging people associated with OWS Minnesota. Allegedly, the police picked up people from PV Plaza, their Occupy spot, drove them out to the airport, got them loaded, took them back to the Occupy spot, dropped them off, we believe, to discredit the movement. So just be aware of all that about the police shenanigans, about the brutality, about the drugging, or at least as we feel here at InfoWars. And that brings us to our quote of the day. We must not confuse dissent with disloyalty. When the loyal opposition dies, I think the soul of America dies with it. That by Edward R. Murrow, pioneer of television broadcasting. Welcome back. Top story headline. The MF Global Magical Mystery Tour. This by James Hall of InfoWars.com. The lack of definitive disclosure in the MF Global investigation is hampered at every turn. The frustration shows as Judicial Watch sues SEC, CFTC for Corzine MF Global documents. Now, this article is full of acronyms, so I'm going to go ahead and just explain a few to you. Freedom of Information Act, Commodity Futures Trading Commission, Securities and Exchange Commission. Let's continue. Judicial Watch said the CFTC acknowledged receiving the group's FOIA on April 25th of this year, but failed to provide a final reply by the statutory deadline of May 23rd, 2012. Similarly, the SEC told Judicial Watch it received the FOIA on April 25th, but it did not provide a final response by the mandatory deadline date. Continuing. Investor Daily offers an even more disgusting prospect in Corzine's next actor, MF Global, a hedge fund. Amazingly, Corzine's reputation may be irrevocably tarnished, but the latest report suggests the ensuing criminal investigation is unlikely to lead to any charges against him. How you like them apples, Gerald Celente? He gets away once again. The article does go on to say that Corzine may be interviewed by federal investigators next month sometime. Maybe. Next story. California poised to grant driver's licenses to young illegal immigrants. This story out of the Sacramento Bee. President Barack Obama's Deferred Action Childhood Arrival gives a select group of undocumented immigrants the right to live and work in the United States for 2 years without fear of deportation. Continuing. Deferred action applies to the undocumented immigrants between the ages of 15 and 31 who were brought to America before the age of 16 and have no criminal record. Participants must also be either high school students or graduates who have lived in the United States continuously for 5 or more years, which is to say we have a border patrol that tries to keep you from crossing the border. But if you sneak past them, live here for 5 years, Barack could give you free tuition and driver's licenses and work visas and all that. And nothing against illegal immigrants, but why do we have a border patrol if we're going to award these people if they sneak past? Just a thought. Next story. Now, people say we're all doom and gloom here at InfoWars.com on the nightly news, and we're not. We like to have fun every now and then, and every now and then we come across a story that it's just a fun story, and since we have a bunch of Star Wars nerds here at InfoWars.com, it wasn't too hard to get this one past. Headline, Hoverbike, Star Wars technology brought to life.
California-based firm Aerofix created an aerial vehicle with two ducted rotors instead of wheels, which originates from a design abandoned in the 1960s because of stability and rollover problems. Continuing, the hover bike does not require special training. It can become a useful tool in agriculture, border control, there's border control again, and search and rescue operations. Now, we do have a very cool clip of the hovercraft in action, and let's take a look at that. So we see the thing here. It looks like, what's the Star Wars planet where Luke is flying around Tatooine? Okay, so yeah, the guy's flying around on Tatooine, having a good time. It's a hovercraft. It gets off the ground, so do you need a TSA inspection before you can jump on that thing? Don't bend over too far, buddy. They may stick their hands down your pants. All right, we'll come back for one more. Forbes has released its list of the 100 most powerful women on the planet. If you guys got the graphics, we'll take a look here. So we see the number one people, the most powerful women in the world. Number two we have clocking in is Miss Hillary Clinton, a woman who can dodge bullets like Neo by her own accord. We'll slide down here to number four, Miss Melinda Gates, whose husband wants to forcibly vaccinate you via mosquitoes, ABC News. You can take a look at that yourself. Miss Michelle Obama clocking in at number seven. Her husband, as he claims, is from Kenya, her own words. Drop all the way down to number 10, Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook. And who's that at number nine? None other than Big Sis Janet Napolitano. I do believe we have a quote from Miss Janet Napolitano. Is that right, guys?
Early in this position, on Christmas Day 09, a man named Abdulmutallab tried to get an underwear bomb onto a passenger plane bound for Detroit. It was over Christmas break. We were all spread all over the place. The president was in Hawaii. I was in California with my family. And I gave an interview where I knew what I meant, but it didn't come out right.
Do you think that, has there been any evidence of the Al-Qaeda ties that this suspect has been claiming?
I think it would be inappropriate to speculate. One thing I'd like to point out is that the system worked. Everybody played an important role here.
I'm Kurt Haskell. I'm an attorney in Michigan. And, I was on the flight with the underwear bomber on Christmas Day while we were waiting for our flight. So we sat by the gate on the floor playing cards. And when we're playing cards, I looked up and what caught my eye was a pair of men walking up to the counter. And one looked like a wealthier Indian man to me and the other looked like a poor African. I thought he was a teenager, but apparently he was a little older then. But he looked like a poor African teenager. He only had on jeans and a white T-shirt in the middle of winter. And, I thought they were an odd pair, so I just kind of watched them as we were playing cards. And they went to the counter together, and the Indian-looking man spoke, and what he said was, "This man needs to get on the flight," referring to the African teenager. But he doesn't have a passport. And then the girl working at the counter said, "Well, you have to have a passport to get on the flight." And then the Indian man said, "Well, he's from Sudan. We do this all the time." And that's an exact word-for-word quote. And she said something along the lines of, "Well, you know, I'll have to refer you to a manager," or something like that. And I think she did something on her computer. And then she sent the two of them down a hallway, and they walked down the hallway together, which was in a restricted area. And they walked down there without an escort, and then, you know, I quit watching at that point. Two important things at the end of January 2010. One was an ABC News article by Brian Ross, where he came out and said, "Yeah, you know, this man in tan suit that was witnessed by passengers," he said passengers, but really it was just me, "that, you know, we're looking into this guy, and we think he actually helped the underwear bomber so that he wouldn't get cold feet." You know, they didn't go so far as to admit what I had been saying, that, you know, that would have been impossible that he was Al-Qaeda, because he went to the desk and said, "We do this all the time." And then he had enough authority to walk down this hallway in a secure area and talk to the manager and get the man on the flight. So obviously Al-Qaeda couldn't do that. But they did admit the existence of the man in this article. So to me, that was a big story, because it was not only the first time they admitted his existence, but they've never admitted his existence after that. But at least we have it once detailed. Not only that, but it's by ABC News, so fairly credible media, at least, you know, to some. But later in January 2010, we had hearings in Congress on this where we had Undersecretary of State Patrick Kennedy come out. And if you watch the video of him, it's pretty telling that he's trying to cover up something and not tell the truth. He's squirming in his chair and seems really uncomfortable answering the questions. And this video is all over the internet if you want to Google it and look at it. But what he said is basically, you know, we knew Abdul-Muttalib was a terrorist. We wanted to stop him from coming in the country and revoke his visa.
There have been numerous cases where our unilateral and uncoordinated revocation of the visa would have disrupted important investigations that were underway by one of our national security partners. They had the individual under investigation, and our revocation action would have disclosed U.S. government's interest in that individual and ended our colleagues' ability, such as the FBI, to pursue the case quietly and to identify terrorist plans and co-conspirators.
The system worked, as Mr. Politano said. I'm not exactly sure what system she's talking about. The Department of Homeland Security did not stop the underwear bomber. The people on the plane stopped the underwear bomber, and some well-dressed man happened to get him on the plane to begin with. And what's that? What are you guys saying? We have another clip of Ms. Napolitano, but don't leave the people in suspense.
My prior jobs were great experience for it because they, you know, taught me how to delegate, how important good staff is around you to help you accomplish what you want to accomplish, taught me how to compartmentalize, taught me how to handle stress in a healthy way, so that I was prepared in that sense. But
all right, and that brings us to our quote of the day. My prior jobs were great experience. They taught me how to compartmentalize. That by Janet Napolitano, the Secretary of Homeland Security. And you see, you're talking about the compartmentalization. That's when, you know, let's see, with the ATF, you got a few well-meaning ATF people who are really trying to protect the country. So they go along with this ploy to ship guns into Mexico. One hand's not knowing what the other hand is doing. You know, there were rockets and grenades. I'm not sure what Bass Pro Shop you shop at, the one in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, does not sell explosives. So it wasn't just from pawn shops and mom and pop stores. So the people at the top of the ATF, your big wigs, your Eric Holders, your Jan Napolitano's, know what's going on, but your other ATF agents, you know, they're in their compartments, so they're not too sure. But anyway, that's it for this segment of the InfoWars Nightly News.
This is Melissa Mountain reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Now, as InfoWars has extensively reported on, the government has been arming to the teeth, buying up ammo left and right. And earlier this year, the DHS bought 450 million rounds of hollow point bullets. More recently, Paul Joseph Watson reported that the DHS put in an additional order for 750 million more rounds of hollow point ammunition, bringing the total to billions. Now, other government agencies are also buying up ammo. We have agencies such as the Social Security Administration set to purchase 174,000 rounds of hollow point. And as public distrust grew, the Department of Homeland Security decided to classify their ammo purchases, actually going in and blacking out information on their purchasing order with what appears to be a Sharpie marker about what kind of ammunition they're buying and how much. Now, in addition to that, the TSA recently set to purchase 1,400 pounds of explosives for the canine training program. They put in an invitation to bid on 700 pounds of A5 flake RDX explosives and 700 pounds of high-density ammonium nitrate explosives, which are set to be used as training aids by explosive-sniffing dogs participating in the National Canine Program. And according to the contract, these explosives were set to be delivered today. Now, this should be pretty concerning considering that just a little over a year ago, headline, stolen police explosives at Sky Harbor worry travelers. Now, you'll recall just over a year ago, police at Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix lost live explosives during a training exercise. And these explosives weren't found until days later when a random passerby happened to see a cooler sitting on a street corner. So you put all that together, they're buying thousands of pounds of explosives, they're buying millions of bullets, and then you've got proposed legislation in California where gun vendors are supposed to report anyone who purchases over 1,000 rounds within a 5-day period. So ironically, you as a private citizen cannot purchase more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition. The government, however, can purchase billions of rounds of ammunition and then just classify it and not let you know why. So one thing is certain, though, as public distrust for the government grows and they arm to the teeth with less and less transparency, InfoWars will be right here to report that to you as the mainstream media continues to ignore it. Now, switching gears, government think tank the Brookings Institute put out a report yesterday entitled Understanding the Loop, Regulating the Next Generation of Drones. And they go on to discuss how drones have revolutionized warfare, and Congress has voted to further expand domestic drone use, with the FAA loosening restrictions. But they say today's drones are merely the Model T of drone technology, and tomorrow's drones are expected to leap from automation to autonomy. They go on to say, today's humans are still very much in the loop. Humans generally decide when to launch a drone, where it should fly, and whether it should take action against a suspect. But as drones develop greater autonomy, humans will increasingly be out of the loop. Human operators will not be necessary to decide when a drone, or perhaps a swarm of microscopic drones, takes off, where it goes, and how it acts. And they go on to explain how these autonomous drones will make their decisions based on a diagram of Boyd's OODA loop. And as you can see here, it's got a lovely pentagram on there for you. OODA stands for Observation, Orientation, Decision, and Action. Now, Boyd's theory of decision-making shows how machine systems like drones operate, make decisions, and interact with the world. And this report goes on to call for policymakers having a better understanding of this OODA loop and what the next generation of autonomous drones will look like and how they will work. However, according to a story in Counterpunch a week ago, drones destroy their own OODA loops. And this is a story by Franklin Spinney. And basically what happens is imperfect feedback distorts the observations point in the cycle, which would be the first point in the OODA loop. And I think a quote out of this Brookings report kind of really sums up the situation when they go on to say, autonomy is no longer solely a feature of humans. Whether it is a desirable quality for machines will be among the most important policy questions of the coming years. And I think as drones fill our skies, whether or not it's a desirable quality for our safety, security, and freedom will actually be the most important question. I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm David Ortiz. In the hours, days, and weeks ahead, we can expect a concerted attack on the right to own firearms and the Second Amendment in response to the shooting in Colorado last night. Proponents of disarming the public will argue that restricting the right to own firearms will prevent mass murders and violence. But here's something they will not tell you. The chance you will be a victim of a mass shooting is at best minuscule. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the proportion of homicide incidents involving two victims has increased slightly from 2.7% in 1980 to 3.7% in 2008. So basically within about a 30-year window, that number has barely increased. Here are some more numbers. According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, 3.7% of all homicides involved two victims, 0.5% involved three victims, 0.2% involved four victims, and 0.1% involved five or more victims. So obviously, mass murders are rarely happening, yet they continue to want to gun grab the government. Moreover, the homicide rate in the United States has declined sharply in recent years, from 9.3 homicides per 100,000 in 1992 to 4.8 homicides per 100,000 in 2010. So this is obviously far from an epidemic, yet the government wants control of your guns. And here's one of the reasons why. I'm going to give you some quick stories. A 71-year-old recently was at a gaming cafe in Florida. Two intruders came in, one with a bat, one with a gun. They wanted to rob the place. He shot a gun, and the perpetrators ran away. And as a result, one bystander said says, I think he is wonderful for doing what he did, for protecting us. And that could actually be seen on YouTube from what I'm told. Another example of law-abiding citizens protecting themselves with a gun. In Phoenix recently, a 14-year-old boy protected his three younger brothers from an intruder who broke into their home with a gun. He shot at the intruder with his father's gun, and he struck the intruder, and the intruder ran away. That recently happened in Phoenix. And just another story that recently happened in Oklahoma City. A woman was able to protect both herself and her child. An intruder came in, tried to kick in her door. He came at her with a knife, and her name, Mrs. McKinley, she took out her 12-gauge, and she shot the perpetrator and was able to save the life of both her child and herself. But the government would say that's evil. It's, you know, she was wrong, obviously. So, those are just some great examples, and you don't see that in the media. Examples of people protecting their loved ones because they used a firearm. Let me end with this. It's a quote from Ben Franklin, and it said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And later on in the show, Rob is going to interview a woman who exercised her Second Amendment rights. That's going to be a great piece. So back to you, Darren.
This is Linda West reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. The Batman massacre just keeps raising more and more questions. Just recently, the Colorado police have recovered from the Colorado University, where James Holmes attended, a notebook that was sent to his professor over a week before the massacre actually occurred. They have no idea why the notebook was not delivered to the professor and why it sat languishing around the mailroom for over a week. It raises some questions as to if this could have been averted if it had actually been found, because the notebook details the massacre and actually shows pictures. He drew stick figure pictures of stick figures being blown away by bullets and stick figures shooting the people. And when I say figures, I am speaking plural, which again raises the question, did this man act alone? And also, why in the world would he send this notebook to somebody which could have stopped the massacre from happening if it had been read? Which then also goes to say, why did he tell the police that his apartment was rigged? So let's start with some more questions that keep coming up around this event. Number one, if this gentleman was a Joker fan, and that's the reason he went and pulled off this horrible massacre, then why did he dye his hair red? The Joker rarely appears with red hair. Only in one movie did he have red hair, and all the other movies he has green hair. So why would he choose red hair? Doesn't make any sense if that was his motive. And for that matter, where is the motive? There doesn't seem to be a revenge motive. Drugs have been seemingly brought into play, but he didn't seem to be a drug addict beforehand. He just seems to be recovering from drugs now that he's in the courtroom. And then finally, what exactly was this guy's plan on escape? Obviously, he couldn't go back to his apartment because he had it rigged to blow up. And he wasn't going to go out with a bang after shooting all these people, or he would have killed himself. So his plan was to go back and hang out by his car? It just didn't make any logical sense. So here we are once again sitting with more and more questions and no answers. But for certain, tighter gun controls are not the answer. So for our quote of the day, let's go to George W. Bush, who says, "It will take time to restore chaos." We actually have that clip by George Bush.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos. It'll take time to restore chaos.
Now I'm sending you back to Paul Watson in England, and I'm Linda West signing off with InfoWars Nightly News.
David Ortiz reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Last night, I went to go see the film 2016, Obama's America, based on Dinesh D'Souza's book, The Roots of Obama's Rage, and other articles he wrote. The movie details the author's view on how Obama was raised and how he formed his political ideology. D'Souza argues that Obama's anti-colonial and ultimately communist agenda were taught to the president by five politically radical mentors he befriended throughout his life, as well as the distant ambitions of his lost father, whom the filmmaker assumes is Barack Obama Sr. These five individuals are Frank Marshall Davis, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Bill Ayers, Edward Said, Roberto Unger. Let's go now to this report.
The pain I felt was my father's pain. My questions were my brother's questions.
According to Box Office Mojo, 2016, Obama's America is already the highest grossing conservative political documentary of all time, having grossed over $9 million in less than 1 week. The film is so popular, an additional 700 movie theaters nationwide have decided to show the film this weekend. I recently decided to catch the film and to get some feedback from moviegoers. What are your thoughts on the film?
I thought it was excellently made. I thought it was very insightful. I thought it hit on the high points that we all need to be considering and learning about Barack Obama.
It requires an attention span. You just you can't watch it like you do TV and get, you know, sound bites like you do from Fox News or whatever, you know.
Going back and dipping into Barack's past and his family, because we're all so influenced by our families, that really resonated with me.
I knew a lot about Obama. I didn't vote for him, obviously, because I knew when he was saying hope and change, it wasn't going to be good, hope and change. And I don't know why I felt that way, but it was something that just really troubled me, that he never really told us what he was going to do. He was just going to transform America and the world, and that sounded really creepy.
I thought it was very well presented. No name calling, but just here are the facts, and the facts, of course, are astounding.
I'm not really that huge into the political scene, but I think it was really eye-opening, especially for me. I really didn't know much about Obama. I don't think anyone really did, which was proved in the film.
I would say vote Libertarian. There's a better alternative to both Obama and Romney, and that is Gary Johnson, the former New Mexican governor who is the Libertarian presidential candidate. That's who I'm voting for. Thank you.
While D'Souza educates his audience about the position of these men and the possible connection they have with the current policies of the White House, he fails to mention many other even more disturbing facts about the Obama administration. 2016 Obama's America does mention a deficit of over $16 trillion. However, the film conveniently leaves out how in 2009, Obama extended Bush's TARP policy, giving the banks over $23.7 trillion, money which quite possibly helped fund this film. The movie also never mentions Mitt Romney or the election. If this movie mentioned Mitt Romney, then the similarities of the two candidates would be brought into question. Some of these similarities include their support of Obama's NDAA legislation, which gives the federal government the green light to disappear citizens, and the groping policies of the TSA. If you want to truly understand the motivating force behind the president, the film The Obama Deception, available at InfoWarsShop.com or on YouTube, is the only film to watch. Other distortions include a claim that Obama is actually going to close Guantanamo Bay while it remains open to this day. The movie includes many polarizing figures, entrapping the audience in classic left-right paradigm thinking. While Obama is obviously pushing socialism, the movie ends by catering to all the fears, emotions, and ambitions of the neocon movement. Since Obama has anti-colonialist views, according to this movie, then he will allow the Middle East to form the United States of Islam. This baseless conjecture is just more fuel for the warmongering plutocrats to get a naive public to go along with their agenda to destroy the existing Middle East and replace it with their puppet dictators. Much of the film is slow moving as well. I thought the movie focuses too much on puppets and not on the puppet masters. The film is clear propaganda designed to protect the true controlling global criminals while advancing their agenda of war and death. Again, if you want the hardcore facts on Obama and those that control him, watch The Obama Deception, available at InfoWarsShop.com and on YouTube. Reporting for InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
And we are back. It's InfoWars Nightly News. I am very excited because two of the six reporters that we're in the process of hiring and getting down here have now arrived. The next month or so, the rest are phasing in. Extremely exciting because they're all intelligent, focused, and have their own perspective on the world. And it's bringing just a lot of energy to an already very energized InfoWars Command Center here in Austin, Texas. And for reports on the radio, for voiceovers, for TV, and in the future to host the Nightly News and other shows we're going to start producing. Jakari Jackson from Oklahoma, who's almost done with college up there, already working in RTF, came down to Austin, Texas, living the American dream, a rugged individual down here taking a risk. Rugged individualism, man. We like that. He's here with us. Now, I wanted to interview you tonight instead of having a guest on Skype because I wanted to just talk briefly about what you think of the InfoWars Command Center. Just been here about a day and a half.
Yeah.
Then we got a few news items that kind of caught your eye today that we're going to be breaking down. But Jakari Jackson, welcome to the InfoWars family.
Oh, thank you, Alex. Good to be here.
It's awesome. You were the winner, for those that are tuning in, of the InfoWars Reporter Contest. And here you are. We've also got Dan Bedondi, who's going to be in studio with
us
tomorrow night covering a few reports. And just a really awesome, cool crowd. A very diverse crowd, but all bound together in liberty. We got folks from Rhode Island, Oklahoma, California, you name it, all coming into the InfoWars Command Center. And it's teleprompter free. So talk about
teleprompter free.
Talk about being thrown into the deep end, my friend. I mean, you are here, but I tell you, you nail it. So good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Yeah, it is being thrown into the deep end. I won the InfoWars Reporter Contest and interviewed Alex for the first time got to speak to you live on the radio. And he said, you ready to come down here? I was like, can we talk about the job first before I come down? But it's been good. It's been a great experience meeting the guys. Got to meet Dan Bedondi the other day and met Rob and some of the other guys the first time I came down to interview. And that was a great experience. Alex took me out, drove me around in his Charger. So it was cool. It wasn't, too big of a decision to make, too difficult of a decision to make.
Well, I tell you, it's fate and part of God's greater plan that you're here and all the other great reporters that are coming in. We're going to be able to really expand the show, codify it for viewers out there, and then start launching it out on the television, even though some cable networks and systems are grabbing the archive of it and then editing it themselves and putting on air like 2 hours a week on basic cable in England. Paul Watson can go into his living room and turn it on and watch it. So we're having incredible success thanks to all of you spreading the word.
Alex, can I ask you this? Now, I know we're teleprompter-free and impromptu. I was contacted by some of the other finalists in the top 10. They're just kind of wondering what your thoughts were, if you're going to try to keep in contact with them or if you want them to send you stuff or, just a thought.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. That's why it's freeform in here. We have to, you saw it just to interview, hire, fly in, people moving in, getting apartments, houses.
Yeah.
It's a big deal just to hire six reporters, even for a good sized company.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get to that next level, and we want to have correspondence. We'd like to be able to pay hundreds of reporters, but it's a money issue.
Yeah.
You see me half the time running around here just trying to get the coal for the engine here.
Yeah.
But all of the reporters were amazing, hundreds of them. Mm-hmm. And, yes, we want them to be correspondents. They can go out now and do reports say reporting for InfoWars.com. Really, don't wait for orders from headquarters. Go to the sound of the guns. Back in the old days, before they had radio and things, there'd be battles going on, and other groups had to go, march to meet them.
Yeah.
And they'd say, hey, you just hear the big guns going off?
That's just where you go.
Go to that, because this is a grassroots situation. I mean, I'm trying to learn television. I've been doing it 17 years. I did it as an amateur.
Yeah.
So it's really a laboratory. That's what InfoWars.com is a laboratory to develop talented people that love liberty to go out and report on what's really happening.
Okay.
I mean, our job's not hard, really. I mean, so much of it's even in the mainstream media. They're just like, isn't it good kids are getting microchips and hand scanning to buy and sell? Isn't it good that cancer rates have exploded? And by the way, the fluoride is killing you. But, they admit it's happening.
Yeah.
So much of our job is just having the energy, the focus, the passion to try to wake. But see, I'm supposed to be interviewing you.
Hey, this is good.
Hold on. Get the teleprompter over here. I can't talk without it.
Man, there's no teleprompter in this building. I can attest to that.
But, I mean, in the old days, you know, news reporters just had the news. They'd read a few quotes and then give you their take on it. But enough of me. Other questions, because I like the fact you're starting to interview me. Go ahead.
Oh, man. How do you do it, Alex? You know, I was watching you earlier today, and you do the show, live radio show, then you come out and you handle your business in between your segments. You come out here, hey, Rob, I need to do this. You know, can you guys do that? Then you go back in the show, and you don't miss a beat, and you go right back into it.
And unfortunately, I get so busy, you know, I have a guest on, and I get the phone, and got him on mute, and I'm sitting there, you know, calling. That's why I need to get a team in here of folks like yourself and get everybody trained to just learn what I've learned. Not that I have all the answers. Show that even if they kill me, God forbid, or I get struck by a bolt of lightning or die in a car wreck tonight, I have planned to try to keep this place going.
That's good.
I mean, that's my goal, because I realized about 6 years ago that there was nobody else even doing it at the level I was. And I wasn't arrogant thinking we were doing a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, quite frankly, a lot of what I do is like nails on a chalkboard, but I'm trying my best. And I realized, wow, if I've already gotten to this level, I've got a responsibility to try to go all the way. And everything we've tried has succeeded, thanks to the good Lord above and supporters out there that
great
God works through.
Great viewers, yeah.
So I think we've got a shot at just really continuing to expand, but also inspiring others. Because when we raise the mark, that raises the mark for other people.
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening.
People are really stepping up. I saw some great submissions in the reporter contest, and some people have gone on and kept making their videos, and I think that's...
Well, see, a lot of it is we're just busy for weeks trying to watch 600 videos. Yeah. Now that you're here and others are here, everybody's learning to multitask. I mean, Rob Dews, the news director, he's back here even with his blown knee. You know, he's even back here trying to move stuff around. He's showing you guys the camera shots. I mean, it's a process. So as soon as we get 6-7 more people that are really trained and know how to do basic stuff, boom, then we can bring in even more people.
Oh, okay.
And then just keep, you know.
Keep building up.
To the point of those of us that have really mastered things, we can just do pure research and pure news. Instead of, I walk around picking up people's coffee cups and stuff.
He really does. He went and got me a cup of water my first day here, so.
Well, but that's what it's all about, because you've got, my wife's always saying, you got to hire a manager. We've hired managers before, and managers can do certain things. But when it is so grassroots and so fluid, there aren't people that know this stuff. I mean, this is true grassroots media. We're redrawing the designs here. And so it is a work in progress.
Work in progress.
Any other questions?
I'm good for right now, Alex.
Are you in? Well, I mean, I guess Oklahoma's hot, so you're used to 110 degrees.
Yeah, it's this big myth. It's no hotter in Austin, Texas than it is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, it is a little bit hotter in Dallas, but the difference between Austin and Tulsa, when I flew back to Tulsa, when I stepped off that plane, that heat just hit me. I was like, this is what heat is. I mean, it gets hot in Austin, but not as hot as it does in Tulsa. So it wasn't too much of a culture shock for me, no.
Austin does not get as cold as Dallas in the winter.
Okay,
so
I can believe that.
So I guess that is the difference. I bet Tulsa gets pretty darn cold. I've been up there.
It can get cold. We had ice storm back in 2008. You know,
yeah, and people die in those ice storms.
Yeah, I mean,
you know the answer, ban ice storms. Bill Gates is working on that.
There's your global warming, the ice storm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We had I don't know how many consecutive days of, you know, 100-degree heat. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Now, I'm supposed to be interviewing you. I'll guarantee you on YouTube it'll be, shut up, Jones, shut up. I mean, that's like a popular meme. I mean, it's a minority of folks that complain like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't argue with success, but I'm here. You're asking the questions now.
You know, the number one thing I see on YouTube as far as your videos, everybody talks about Zionist, Zionist, Zionist. I mean, this is impromptu, teleprompter free. If you can just throw something out, can you explain a little bit about the Zionists? Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'll tell you. When I've talked about the Zionists, that makes all of the anti-Zionists even more angry.
Okay.
Because they're invested in the fact that they believe, you know, that I work for Israel or something.
Okay.
And those same groups, the whole anti-Zionist thing, it's very complex.
Okay.
There are some people that are reasonably mad at some of the things Israel's doing, which have been compared to apartheid in South Africa.
Okay.
And it is pretty darn close to that. I mean, it's tribal warfare going on. And I've always been critical of
That's
things
a good
like
way to
that.
Explain it.
And then I have the whole kind of ADL Israel lobby viciously after me.
Right.
And then all these white supremacist groups, I mean, you name them, you go to their websites, they're not talking about Benjamin Netanyahu, they're not talking about Jesse Jackson, they're talking about me.
Alex Jones.
Oh, I mean, I am like the number one thing. And I've figured out why that is. It's because the feds have been caught, and so have the other subgroups running those. So I've got them attacking me, and then the groups that are running attacking me, because what they're really afraid of is the American people just get together for the Bill of Rights and Constitution.
Yeah, they don't want that.
And so, as Cass Sunstein at the White House said, he goes, we'll pose as the opposition and radicalize it where it's so nasty nobody joins it. So we got a website about, hey, they're funding Al-Qaeda to attack Syria, this is wrong. They're like, shut up, you Jewish agent. You know, and I'm, well, wait a minute. We don't want Al-Qaeda attacking Syria
right.
and starting a big war. What's that have to do with I'm supposedly a Jewish agent? Shut up, you're a Jewish agent. And, but basically, by tracking them over the years, I figured out most of them are actually operatives. So it's just the nastiest thing they can throw in the middle of it. I'm like, hey, General Motors got paid $22 billion to move our jobs over to China and Brazil. And they're there going, shut up. We know you work for the Jews. We're going to kill you. And you're like, but they paid to move the jobs to Brazil.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I got the articles right here.
Yeah, but it's the nastiest thing. It's like, I hate to have a gross analogy, but it's the only one that works. It's like we got this big punch bowl of truth, common sense. Everybody wants to climb in and get a cup of it.
Yeah.
Maybe even somebody put some Everclear in there or something. I mean, this is a big old nice... Yeah, Marco says he did. Marcos Morales in there. And so it's a big party's about to happen.
Okay.
And the New World Order goes over. He goes, what's the nastiest thing we can do? Well, let's just start screaming a bunch of anti-Semitic stuff. And then they just take a big old crap in the punch bowl. It was actually a 9/11 truth meeting one time up on a rooftop. I'm not even going to tell it. And they had somebody show up to break it up. Crapped all over the rooftop.
Wow.
So CC, watch out, teleprompter free. I wasn't at that event, but I was told about it. It was pretty amazing.
Okay.
But the whole issue here is it's just the nastiest thing they can do. And they got other stuff, though. They'll like come out and say, Jones is talking about aliens. Well, I don't talk about aliens, or very rarely. Or they'll say, Jones works for the Vatican. See, what they do is they actuary it out, where they know there's a Protestant-Catholic fight going on,
okay.
So they try to put me in the middle of that because I'm not involved in that. Okay. Or there's, you know, huge battle lines, pro-Israel, anti-Israel. Well, I'm trying to really analyze both sides, and both sides are involved in politics and manipulation.
Right.
And I don't try to do that like being a politician. That I really talk like I'm thinking, like I'm trying to be reasonable and fair and really know how things work. So it's the fact that I do try to bring people together. You know, it's like one of the guests I had on a few weeks ago, he was bringing up the fact that when Malcolm X was all racial division, the media gave him endless coverage. But as soon as he got away from that, they killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that same story. They do not want people who are unifying.
Does Pinkett?
Pinckney, yeah.
Yeah, Pinckney, yeah.
But that's also well known outside of just his perspective, is that they're scared to death of that. So it's what Cass Sunstein wrote about. He just left as the White House regulations are, is we'll get in there and just say the nastiest stuff we can. And it also, with kind of camp followers, those that aren't actual operatives but kind of regurgitate it, it's a way to one-up. Like, well, Alex Jones, he didn't build anything. He didn't do anything. Right. It's kind of a you-didn't-build-it statement. This whole place has got Israeli intelligence operatives, you know, running around, running everything. In fact, they're feeding into my ear right now. Well, what do I say now? So that's a joke, but they'll cut that out of context, which is good because people will see the real show and then see how it's out of context. So this stuff was even more effective 5-10 years ago. It isn't now because people have gotten so tuned into trolls and so tuned into disinfo and government and corporate bots that
all over the YouTube page.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like spraying, you know, bugs or whatever. They get resistant.
Yeah.
So people are resistant now to people trying to make them infight and do all that. But that's why I'm ranting now, because there's a million points on that subject.
All right.
What else is there? Go ahead and ask more questions.
He's
turned this around into an Alex Jones interview.
I think I satisfied a lot of people, because every time I go, you know, to the InfoWars YouTube page, the Alex Jones YouTube page, that's what everybody is talking about is the Zionists. So I just wanted to address.
But if you notice, we'll have 97% positive comments on average. It's 97%.
Oh yeah.
But you'll see commenters that are there for 24 hours straight, and most of those are bots. And they just jam the same thing in, jamming in. We could shut down the comments, but I think it's part of the learning process to leave them live. You just, you know, let them do it. What I don't like is on InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, where it's articles about a subject, and they deliberately go in there and try to stir people up, and then we can see the IP addresses. The same guy will have fake debates with each other.
Talking to himself.
Yeah, you know, just trying to dominate and change the subject. See, because they want people at a cocktail party or whatever to go, yeah, Alex Jones, I like him. And they go, oh, really? I heard he works for the Vatican.
You heard, yeah.
Instead of it being about what I'm saying, that the megabanks are announcing they've conquered us in world government. No, that's not interesting. You know, the military training and setting up re-education camps officially.
Yeah.
That's not news. Alex Jones is the news. Well, let's just say I'm the worst person in the world. Let's move past that now. What are you going to do about what's happening? What are you going to do about what's happening? Okay, because I'm busting my butt. And I'm not angry that people, some of them, fall for this stuff. I'm not angry that I get attacked. Because right. In a sick way, that only makes me bigger.
That's true.
I get upset for people that buy into the propaganda because it stunts them from ever moving forward. And they could just say, oh, that guy's bad, this person's fake, that person's fake, oh, they're New World Order, they're this and that. And then, oh, there's nothing we can do. And that's how you get cognitively infiltrated.
Yeah.
I can tell a lot of stories. Now that you bring it up, sometime I ought to do a whole show just on...
Do a special report, just tell you stories.
But there's so many examples. That's why I end up talking so fast sometimes, because I've got like 20 examples in my mind right now of the type of memes and the type of things that they push. Here's an example.
Okay.
Not even bad people. But I show up at Bilderberg this year. You know, I call to occupy it. 1,000 showed up over the 4 or 5 days. Mm-hmm. I get there, and there's like 10 people bullhorning. 10 people bullhorning, people talking. I'm glad they're bullhorning.
Right.
I'm coming over and putting them on the radio. That was real activist. And they had Marines in plain clothes being inserted just like 4 years ago at the same place in Virginia trying to get fights going. They had some of those things happening.
Right.
But it wasn't effective. Now, go back like 2-3 years ago, they're trying to shut down the Austin Gunn Show. I break the story, have the guy on. But it's not like it's a big story, except that it's an attack on the Second Amendment. It's me trying to defend them shutting down a gun show that had been here for almost 2 decades
right.
and kicking them out. So I have the people on. I expose the setups. I make it an issue. Local groups, who I'm sure are nice or whatever, they go and say they're going to protest, you know, down at the police station.
Okay.
So I hear about it. I go, yeah, my listeners, everybody should go down there today. So we go. I mean, I don't get permits to go to things. You know, I stormed the Capitol twice last year. I'm not getting one. You want to arrest me? Go ahead. It's my Capitol. I'm going in. I'm going to go scream at people that want to let the TSA stick their hands down my pants.
Right.
Okay. And the legislature responded by unanimously in the House, you know, voting it out. But then the Senate killed it, Dewhurst. But now Dewhurst has been defeated in the Senate. See, it's all part of making them accountable. And polls all said they lost over the TSA issue. So we lost that battle. The TSA stayed. The feds threatened a blockade,
yeah.
Exactly, an aerial blockade, but we are now punishing those that did it. The message is being sent. It's not about winning the war overnight. It's about battles. So I get in a rhinoceros mode. You know, I'm out at the Bilderberg. I don't have bodyguards out there. I got people threatening me, getting in my face, stuff like that. I'm just like, you know what? I'm turning my back. Do whatever you're going to do.
Yeah.
So I get pumped up at these events. So there's everybody out at Bilderberg. You know, we're just bullhorning, doing whatever we want. You know, everybody's going wild, fighting for freedom, got pretty emotional. It was powerful. I go storm the Capitol twice with 500 people or so each time. National news. So I'm walking down the street towards this event.
Bilderberg?
No, towards the gun event. I was just giving examples of other events that weren't ninnied out.
Okay.
You know, henpecked out or whatever you want to call it. So I'm going around, I see live news trucks over here on the side of the police station doing live coverage. Well, I do what I've always done. I start bullhorning that it's a police state to shut down the gun show, and it's covert, non-legislative gun control. And all of a sudden, the people that had gone and gotten the permit and are around the corner, they come running around saying, basically, you're not welcome here. And I see all my listeners with T-shirts stuff. I go, well, you can have your thing over there, but okay, you know, later I'll bullhorn or something. It's not like I mean, I'm just here to, you know, expose what's happening. I'm bullhorning the press. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, if you're nice, you can talk 1 minute at the end. Well, I have events I call and people come just do whatever they want. So I'm like, I kind of shut up and all these people come over of a small group and get in my face and say, you're not welcome here and stuff. And I go, well, my listeners are all here. Little kids are shaking my hand and stuff. And I go,
right.
I'll just hang out. And they go, no, you need to leave. So I'm like, and I've got all the footage of this stuff. I just never made a big issue out of it. And I'm like, no, I won't leave if I don't want to. You know, it's kind of like people are challenging me. Now you're not going to run me off. And this goes on for like 3 hours. And so then they stop bullhorning. I go bullhorn. They get all mad. We're taking our little group. It's kind of like little tribal politics. And then they selectively edit it all and say, oh, my God, a provocateur. And then the feds try to use that as a meme. And, of course, it's totally ineffectual and a joke. But I don't think that was COINTELPRO. That was just mainly locals who I've heard is there's this meme that I won't promote their events or come to it because I'm jealous. Hell, I'm so busy. You've seen me up here running around all day doing stuff, barely even seeing my family. I don't even know what they're doing. Yeah. It's like if I tend to ever pay attention to something local, that's my bone. You know, you don't have that. Meanwhile, I'm a rhinoceros. I mean, I'm like, into the Capitol and, you know, with 500 people. Nobody does that.
No.
You know, so the point is that I'm not even in their world. I mean, I'm not even, you know, engaged in that. But then I see the system weave a psyop out of that. And then, you know, I mean, if that's the best they've got, you know, to say I'm bad and stuff, it's just crazy. And then I have these people come up to me, you know, every once in a while and say, I used to really like the work you did till I saw you say kill Michelle Malkin. And I just go, okay. And they're like, no, don't you want to defend yourself? And I go, no, I'm bad. Just get away from me. You know. Because I didn't say kill Michelle Malkin. Same thing. Denver Mint, 2008. I go over and she lied and said that I put out a fake video of a toy dog being thrown off. That's an incredible lie.
Yeah.
She said I was lying about that. It's clearly a dog. The Marines confirmed it was a puppy they killed. You know, they kicked the guy out that did it.
The cliff, yeah.
Threw it off the cliff. And they're like, oh, look at the legs are pulled up. That's a robot. No, that's what a puppy does. So its mom can, you know, take it around.
When the Marines get a toy dog anyway.
Well, the point is, she says it's a toy dog and I'm making it up because I'm anti-American and love the jihadis or whatever. Okay, so that's a sign. So I see her and I go over and I go, hey, you said we lied about that. That was the real dog. And one of her handlers kind of starts getting in my space, starts bumping me. And I'm like, hey, why don't you get, you know what? You put your hands on me. So then I go around and this is all going on and these people left with her later. They were like the young Republicans that had a blog. They were dressed up as anarchists and stuff, making a joke out of it. They're screaming on tape, laughing, setting me up, going, while I'm yelling expertly. I mean, you've got to be CIA or something to know how to do this stuff. Kill her! Kill her! As I'm yelling, they're saying, kill her! Kill Malkin! Kill her! And then the reason you know it's a psyop is within hours, it's Denver Post, national TV, Alex says, kill Michelle Malkin. And people are calling up going, Alex, you better apologize. I had to go back to the apartment we'd rented off Craigslist, edit the video, you know, grab the video off of hours we'd shot, grab it, edit it, cut it down, get it up, showing them saying it from our angle. Now, that's something I had to respond to because, you know, saying, oh, the bully. See, the feds are looking for stuff like that. How do we make him look like a bully to a woman? Well, make, you know, he's in her face. Say he was saying kill her. Okay. Nobody likes a, you know, guy getting in a little woman's face.
Right.
Even if she said that was a liar and it was a robot dog. So, you know, it's the same thing. They look for things to frame it out of a three-hour thing here in Austin. Well, we'll just cut that down to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And waiting when I got there, just like, get out of here. You're not, you know, get out of here. You're not wanted. I'm like, well, damn. All right, well, I'll leave him home. Well, no, you get out of here now. Well, screw you. I'll do whatever I want. You know, So, I mean, it's that type of action that's made us successful. Not because we're calculated, but because we're real.
Real, yeah.
And of course, I mean, you see the colonels and generals out there giving us all the orders. You've been told today everything to cover.
Oh, well.
I mean, Colonel Zwibbleswap told you everything, didn't they?
They got me set up and ready to go.
All right, more questions. I like the questions you're asking.
Oh, well, I guess we're doing an impromptu Ask Alex.
Well, hey, I was going to interview you. What does your family think of this move? I mean, it is a bold move coming down here.
It's a bold move.
I mean, you're here with Pumpkinhead right now.
Well, they were very excited because they know I'm a journalism major. And so this was, you know, right in my field. And like I said, I had about 16 hours, you know, left to get my degree.
So actually, I left school to come down here. But, you know, it's working out for me. You know, I think it's the right.
Well, we like having you. I really like you, Jakari, and I really like Dan Bedondi. Just it's really exciting. I mean, everybody is so cool. Marcos Morales. We got Wes over there. We got is Dew over there? I can't even see him.
He may have left.
Great job, crew. That's it for this Labor Day special edition. We'll be back Tuesday night, tomorrow, with some surprises. So you'll definitely want to stay with us. I'm Alex Jones, signing off for InfoWars Nightly News. See you back on the radio as well, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon tomorrow at InfoWars.com, Sirius XM 166, and, of course, Global Shortwave and the free audio streams at PrisonPlanet.tv.